Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning.
And welcome to our Wednesday broadcast. Good to be back with you. Hope all is well in your world. So, I think one of the things that so many of you are encouraged by is an atmosphere where people are fighting back against injustice. I think we're all at a point where we agree what happened to a certain student from Covington High School was a profound injustice. You know, beginning with the news and then carrying on with the social media, this kid was absolutely obliterated. It amounts to character assassination. This is what we've come to. This is what has come to be acceptable here in 2019. And thus far, there's not really been a price for media agencies engaging in this kind of behavior. Well, maybe this is changing. The legal team for this Covington High School student has filed a lawsuit, and it is a big one. I've said for several weeks now, I hope this kid cleans up. I really do. I hope it is so monumental that it will send a message. Don't screw with people. So these attorneys representing the student announced they are suing the Washington Post for $250 million. Compensatory and punitive damages, $250 million. Filed in federal court in Kentucky, accused the Post of practicing a modern-day form of McCarthyism by targeting Nicholas Sandman and using its vast financial resources to enter the bully pulpit by publishing a series of false and defamatory print and online articles to smear a young boy who was, in its view, an acceptable casualty in their war against the president. Wow, pretty strong language. A spokesperson for the Washington Post told Fox News the paper was reviewing a copy of the lawsuit. We plan to mount a vigorous defense. Translation, we will figure out the best way we can to settle this thing out of court. I'm serious. This will not ultimately go to court. They're going to settle out of court. The Washington Post does not have a freaking leg to stand on. They don't. They're in big trouble here. Sandman is that junior at Covington Catholic High School. He became a target for outrage after a video of him standing face-to-face with a Native American man, Nathan Phillips, while wearing a red Make America Great Again hat surfaced in January. Sandman was just one of a group of students from Covington attending that anti-abortion March for Life in D.C., Phillips attending the Indigenous People's March the same day. Sandman and the Covington students were initially accused of initiating the confrontation. Other videos and the students' own statements showed they were verbally accosted by a group of black street preachers, shouting insults both at them and a group of Native Americans. Sandman and Phillips both said they were trying to defuse that situation. This lawsuit claims the Post ignored the truth about the incident and says the paper falsely accused Nicholas of accosting Phillips by suddenly swarming him in a threatening and physically intimidating manner, blocking Phillips' path, refusing to allow Phillips to retreat, taunting the dispersing indigenous crowd and chanting, "Build that wall, Trump 2020, or go back to Africa," and otherwise engaging in racist and improper conduct. This is amazing. They are in so much trouble. They don't have a defense. They don't. You know the other question this raises for me? What kind of journalism, real journalism, took place here? I'm serious. If you were standing there as a reporter and you were watching this thing unfold, how could you get, and this is just based on watching videos, how could you arrive at this conclusion that these people accosted anybody and make these scurrilous accusations? To call what they've done here journalism is an insult to journalism. It's amazing, all of these things. Sandman's attorney accused the Post of publishing 7 false and defamatory articles about the incident between January 19th and 21st, and claimed the paper knew and intended its false and defamatory accusations would be republished by others, including media outlets and others on social media. By the way, earlier this month, Sandman's attorneys sent preservation letters to more than 50 media organizations, celebrities and politicians, including The Post, The New York Times, CNN, Senator Elizabeth Warren, and actors Alyssa Milano and Jim Carrey. The first step in possible libel and defamation lawsuits. By the way, this didn't get a lot of media attention, but last week investigators hired by the Roman Catholic Diocese of Covington concluded the students did not instigate the confrontation with Phillips. The bishop there, who initially condemned the students' behavior, wrote in a letter to parents, they have been placed in a situation that was once bizarre and even threatening. That was how that was characterized. So, I want to know what you think. Are you encouraged by this? Do you think this lawsuit is going to succeed in some way? And think about this. I'm serious. I'm going to go out on a limb and predict this kid's going to clean up. It's going to clean up. The Post is going to settle this. And the other people involved that have been served notice, he's going to clean up from them too. And he should. Love to get your thoughts. We begin with Ian in Harrisburg. Good morning.
Hello, Vince. It's me again. I'm very glad you took my call. I really appreciate that.
So what are your thoughts, sir?
I think that this is really the whole social media thing, symptomatic of a larger problem in our society where we've created a venue where we are able to say stuff about people that we would never say to somebody's face. And I think that this is really going to hurt us in years to come because these kids that have grown up in this are going to be entering the workforce and they have no idea how to get along with each other except through a piece of technology. And Einstein, Albert Einstein, warned about this. He said that when technology overcomes social interaction face-to-face, we will have raised a generation of idiots.
Wow. That is very profound, Ian. I do appreciate your call. A lot of background noise there, unfortunately, but we certainly get your point. I'm going to share a personal story after the break because I've been dealing with a bizarre situation these past few days. And I think it goes to Ian's point about relationship. You know, we talked about this issue of resolving conflicts. I'm going to share a personal story with you and just give an example of what is wrong, what has gone wrong in our culture and society. We'll talk about it coming up. Back on the Vince Coakley radio program, Katie says, I would love to be the mouse in the corner regarding this Covington student and the decision to sue. Also, I guess them black Hebrews feel like they skated by. Bunch of racists. Well, they have apparently skated. I've made the comment that this guy's going to clean up. This texter's saying that boy's going to have enough money, he'll be able to play Enter Sandman whenever he enters a room. Hey, he might even have his own theme music. You know, entrance music. Here comes the Sandman. I can just see it now and hear it. Also this, Vince, I am so sorry. You sound horrible today. Praying for you for a speedy recovery. Thank you. Fortunately, I don't feel as bad as I sound. So, just want you to know that so you're not unnecessarily worried. I want to just share kind of a personal story that really gets to the heart of what Ian described a few minutes ago about people and their inability to interact and communicate. And I would add, unwillingness to interact and communicate. Let's see how I can sanitize this. People in the studio right now are aware of some of this story that I have been involved in some way, in a situation. I'll just describe it that way. I have one friend who, a couple of days ago, who's been in the midst of his own crisis, who thought it was a brilliant idea to miscommunicate something that I said to another friend who was absolutely furious. So this friend calls me up, you know, just singularly focused on this one thing that I allegedly said, which I did not say, by the way. And basically, it was like an interrogation. Without saying too much, I have put up with a whole lot of crap for a number of years now, with false accusations, with anger, bitterness, with just negativity. I've just put up with a lot of crap. And I reached my limit. And I wasn't budging. So this person just basically said, and you know, until I get some clarity on this, I'm just not going to talk to you. I'm just thinking this is bizarro world. Because this is a friend of mine who I've hopefully been very helpful to in recent days and weeks. So this is bizarre. It's like, okay, whatever. Yesterday afternoon, I got a call from this friend. And basically, I'll tell you what I said to a mutual friend who is also involved in this situation. I told him, listen, unless I see this person in sackcloth and ashes, I am not talking to this person. Period. I was very clear about that. I got a call yesterday from my friend. And I could tell just by the tone of voice, there was clear repentance there. Among the first words, I have just so desperately wanted to call you the last 24 hours. There's so many times I wanted to call. And he apologized for the comments that were made, the allegation, the whole spirit of accusation, which is what it was. It wasn't even an inquiry. It was, this person told me this, I believe it. And it was just such a joy of reconciliation. And you know, to me, the key thing to me was not even reconciliation. That's wonderful. That's great. What was wonderful to me is it was a message to me, this person is in touch with his Heavenly Father and had a conviction that did not allow this to go one more day. And I would just ask you, do you have any outstanding relational problems with people where you're perfectly comfortable being at variance with someone? I would just ask you, especially if you're saying I'm a Christian and you've got this kind of thing going on and maybe you've done something wrong and out of guilt or whatever it is, you've just stayed away, your conscience becomes seared. By the way, the other party in this person who made this comment, not heard from for a couple of days now. I hope and pray that there's something going on inside there that's going to compel this person to ultimately face the destructiveness of what he has been doing. I just share this story as an example of what is so important in our culture. We've got to learn how to resolve conflict. We've got to learn how to man up. And I don't mean that in any sexist sense. If you've got a problem, go to that person. Reconcile. You don't go to other people and tell stories and spread stories and cause people to be at variance with one another. That is destructive. If you're one of those people, stop. If you're on the receiving end of this, you can appeal to that person to discontinue this kind of behavior. But do you see how in the broader society, why we're in the place that we're in? Because people don't know the way. They don't know how to address things like this. So the only thing people can do is to pile on and pick sides. And a lot of times you have original people who are involved in this, and this thing has grown far beyond the original people who may even have a legitimate conflict. So I hearken back to what I shared with you a few weeks ago when we had a couple of Peacemaker Ministry people on this program. I would encourage you, this is really the essence, one of the important things about life itself. You know, and I say this, especially those of you who say you're Christian, God's given us what? The ministry of reconciliation. And I'm telling you, there's a need for this every single solitary day, not necessarily in our own lives, but in the lives of people around us, for us to be peacemakers. Are we peacemakers, or are we helping to put fuel on the fire? Whatever it is, something to consider. Any case, Vince, thanks for sharing. We cannot be wrong with man and right with God. Ooh, that's really good. It's true. It is very, very true. And a lot of times we can tell ourselves. We're very good at making ourselves feel better, aren't we? Well, I'm justified in what I did. Yeah, just keep telling yourself that. Any case, still to come on the broadcast this morning, we are going to talk about some of the day's other news. We told you about Drag Queen Story Hour in the Upstate. Well, can I give you insult to injury? If you're a taxpayer in Greenville County, you're going to get a bill for this. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad news. Coming up, I'll tell you what that price tag is as a result of Drag Queen Story Hour. Also coming up, Kamala Harris. You remember her comments about smoking pot? Well, her dad takes offense at what she had to say. And for good reason. Let me just give you an example. It would be kind of like me, you know, making a big fuss about the fact that I'm black and therefore I like chicken and watermelon and ribs. How well would that represent the family? We're going to talk about this and much more as we continue. Stay with us. Over on the text line. Hang on, man. Are you saying you don't like chicken, watermelon, and ribs? What's wrong with you? And don't forget about the grape Kool-Aid. Okay. We also have this. If black people like chicken, watermelon, and ribs, and I like chicken, watermelon, and ribs, am I a black person? We also have this. Hope your family would not shun you for your gastronomical choices. It all sounded good to me. Let's do lunch. That's great. Let's talk about Drag Queen Story Hour. If you're in the Upstate, specifically in Greenville County, it looks like you're getting a bill to pay. A nice little bill, nearly $50,000 for security. Greenville County Council working on a plan to figure out who pays for that extra security for the Greenville County Sheriff's Office. That event took place on Sunday at the Greenville County Library, System 5 Forks Branch. There were a number of supporters and protesters there. Councilmember Willis Meadows presented a breakdown of security at a county council meeting Tuesday night. The Greenville County Sheriff's Office provided the security. Meadows said Greenville County taxpayers will have to foot $47,829.82 in security costs. Six high-ranking members of the sheriff's office each worked 30 hours to cover the event at a cost of about $7,800. The breakdown also lists 144 deputies, ranging in rank from captain to deputy, working 2 8-hour shifts. The breakdown states deputies worked 1,332 hours, which adds more than $38,000 to that bill. This breakdown also lists feeding lunch to 170 people for nearly $1,600. The purchase of 4 megaphones, $400. The sheriff's office was able to use bike rack fencing and an additional SWAT vehicle from the city. The sheriff's office also used drones and barricades supplied by county codes to cover the event. Joe Dill, county council member, says it, the way it looks, the taxpayers are going to have to absorb this. The ones I'm hearing from didn't want to pay for it. They want to see the people who created the event pay. They should always have to pay for that. I think many of you would agree with that. Dill defended the extra security, saying it became necessary once organizers claimed they received death threats over holding Drag Queen Story Hour. He added the event would not have been as peaceful without bolstered security. And Dill is concerned that this is going to come up again. I want to hear from you, those of you in Greenville County. How do you feel about forking out $47,000 for security? I mean, now I want to ask honestly, do you honestly think anybody was ever in any real danger? Supposedly some death threats were given. Do you really think somebody would actually do harm to this entity? Yeah, I'm curious. Frankly, it sounds kind of flimsy to me. Our Ingalls Advantage talk line number is 800-928-1110. Common Sense Retirement Planning text line is 71307. Are you ready to pay? That simple. Let's talk about stereotypes. Kamala Harris said last week she obviously supports marijuana legislation and has smoked the plant, citing her ethnicity. Half my family is from Jamaica. Are you kidding me? Is that about one of the dumbest things you could possibly say? You know, it would be something like Elizabeth Warren going around going, oh, la, 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 la. Seriously, how dumb can you possibly be? But guess what? Ms. Harris's father is not thrilled about what she had to say. In a statement, Donald Harris called his daughter's remarks a travesty and accused her of stereotyping. My dear departed grandmother, as well as my deceased parents, must be turning in their grave right now to see their family's name, reputation, and proud Jamaican identity being connected in any way, jokingly or not, with the fraudulent stereotype of a pot-smoking joy seeker and the pursuit of identity politics. Whoa! Something tells me he's not happy. Speaking for myself and my immediate Jamaican family, we wish to categorically disassociate ourselves from this travesty. By the way, Mr. Harris is an economics professor at Stanford University. Good for him. Fretting that these remarks could fuel stereotypes of Jamaicans. You know, this is really kind of sad, isn't it? And for what purpose? What's the purpose? Just to advance someone's street cred. That's what this is about. For some, it's more than mere unease. One Jamaican commenting on social media expressed the concern that soon my job will be singing me out to drug test me. Is this actually singing? Oh, this must be a typo on his Twitter feed. I assume signing me out to drug test me since I'm from Jamaica. What a stereotype. Her concern is not unfounded given the experience of Jamaicans traveling to U.S. ports having sniffer dogs around them in customs halls. Jamaica Global also noted the ironic twist that while Ms. Harris's father is Jamaican, her mother's from India, and the practice of using marijuana as a mild hallucinogenic drug was Indian and brought to Jamaica when both nations were British colonies. Wow, isn't that amazing? In fact, marijuana was popularized by Indian indentured immigrants who began to arrive from 1845. In fact, the local name ganja is Indian. The concept of ganja as a holy herb is a Hindu one. We've learned something, haven't we? This doesn't come from Jamaica, but India. And isn't it intriguing, the connection here with mother and father? Let's take a call here from Pat, who would like to talk about the library and the expenses associated with the event on Sunday. Good morning, Pat.
Good morning. I hope you're feeling a little bit better. You haven't been sounding good at all lately.
I am sorry to hear that.
Do you ever try that Epipat potty thing?
I have not.
Good. Somebody asked me about using it when I had it, and I said it looked too much like waterboarding parallel.
That's pretty funny. I am on the lookout for things all the time, and I still have a few more days of medicine left, so we'll see if this kicks it. Unfortunately, we're up against a hard break. Pat, can you hold with us through the break to talk about the library?
Yes,
we shall return with our conversation with Pat and much more as we continue our Wednesday broadcast. Back of the Vince Coakley radio program over on the text line. Did the Greenville County law enforcement get confused? The Christian community are the ones that get attacked, not the confused community. Also, does Ben Shapiro get to pass his security bill off to taxpayers of his venue? Another person here, they're full of crap on that breakdown for the security of the library. Also this, I'm a contractor. I don't support the drag queen deal, but I know what racking up charges looks like. Vince, the organizers should fork the money over. It's bad enough they use the location supported by taxpayers. Also, if someone did do harm and there wasn't security, then what? The people of Greenville should demand an accounting of how and what the $47,000 for security was for. Vince, I've worked in law enforcement in the upstate. And what is the rest of this message? I hate when this happens. In any case, I live in Greenville, lived here all my life, have two children, outraged that we have things like this happening here. Now we're forced to pay to help the event. Gotta be a way to fight this. Remains to be seen. Before the break, we were talking with Pat out of Union. What's the point you want to make here, Pat?
Any place you go, you want to book an event. Somebody had to promote this. Who is the promoter? Because they're responsible for the bill.
Okay. So
now,
this
I don't know whose harebrained idea this was.
Well, it's kind of a liberal group that was promoting this.
Queens, if this was these drag queens' idea, they were out to whip themselves, to make fun of themselves. For some, I don't know, mental problem?
Oh, boy.
I have no idea. Either that or they're out recruiting. If you can't procreate, you must indoctrinate.
Ooh, that's a good line. You can't procreate, you indoctrinate.
Yes, that's the only thing they can do.
That's a very strong point you've made there. Appreciate your call there, Pat. Let's go out to Joe in Charlotte. Good morning, Joe.
Well, good morning, sir. I was wanting to comment on your earlier comment about a misunderstanding and repentance of a friend. And what you just said is pretty much what the Bible teaches. You know, I think it was, I'm trying to remember, was it Peter who asked Jesus, you know, shall I forgive my brother 7 times? And he says, if he repent, 70 times 7.
Yep.
You know, and that's the point. But we have, you know, I don't hear that preached. You know, it's always forgiveness, forgiveness, forgiveness. Well, there's supposed to be repentance there. Now, you know, I understand if you have somebody that doesn't know any better and they do something against you, then you take that consideration. If I have a child at the table and he throws up all over me or spits on me, that's a child. But it's, you know, but if he's 14 years old, now that's a whole different animal. But the point also is C.S. Lewis, I learned this from C.S. Lewis, you know, he said that when we hear things said bad about people, we're supposed to hope that it's not true. We're supposed to have an attitude.
Yes.
We hope it's not true, and we don't want it to be true, and definitely don't propagate it, because you know that's basically what gossip is.
You've hit it on the head. Really good point there, Joe. And I think this is the problem. And I'm speaking of us, of human nature. How many times do we really want the story to be true? It's what we want to believe.
So, you know, we're supposed to have the attitude, you know, but I've never heard this preached anywhere. You know, and in fact, I tried one time at a Bible study to explain this message, and I was shouted down.
Yeah.
I didn't want to hear it.
It doesn't surprise me, because a good part of the time we want to hold on to our grievances, Joe. That's a big part of this problem. Let us go next out to Blake in Greenville. Good morning, Blake.
Good morning. How you doing?
All right, Blake.
I'm good. So I just want to say I was at the library for a set event, and I was on the protester side. Very slim pickings out there, I will say that, unfortunately. And I think the show of, you know, police force out there was way overdone in proportion to what was going on. The most rowdy people were, you know, those who were for the event.
Surprise.
Wasn't much interaction going on between the two. But I will say that whenever we mentioned the name of Jesus, they went nuts. And they were just, you know, they were showing out, and there were kids, you know, waiting with their parents outside the library, so no one was really harassing the kids, thank God. I think it could have gotten worse if it wasn't at a library and there weren't kids involved. I think that did a lot to kind of quell the feelings out there, but definitely unnecessary show of force there, I think.
So you're concerned this was overkill on the part of law enforcement?
Most definitely, and the bill was, you know, that we're having to pay is definitely overkill for what was going on out there, especially when the protesters weren't really the ones making a ruckus.
Yep, I'm not surprised at all. Blake, thank you very much for calling
thank
in,
you.
And thank you for being who you are. And so many times, it's just a matter of just having a peaceful presence. That's all it is. Over on the text line, Stexter saying, you have to remember the point of forgiveness. It's not for them, it's for you. Yes, that is true. We've got to release people. That's really important. DC stats among the 30th large weed smoking countries. Jamaica ranks 22. 7.21% of the population smoking, well under the U.S. number 2, with 16.3% of the population smoking. Canada, 12.7%. Israel, 8.8%. So assuming everyone who's Jamaican smokes, or even they do, at a higher rate than most, way down at 22. That really blows some stereotypes, doesn't it? Shots it way out of there.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.